Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Daniel 2, verse 47 says, the king, talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Amen. An ever-increasing strength. Let me just share with you how the Lord gave me this message this morning. Thursday night, I went into my prayer time with the Lord. I went into my personal devotional time with the Lord. And I went into my prayer time with God feeling really discouraged, battling just such a sense of discouragement that I was really sensing. I was really strongly sensing some inconsistencies in my life. And when I say inconsistencies, I'm not talking about willful rebellion, willful sin, willful disobedience against the Lord. Just things in my life that one moment I really think I got a handle on this thing. I really feel like I got a grip on this thing. I really feel like I'm walking this thing out. And then the next moment I find myself lying flat on my face. And let me just give you an example. An example I can give you is patience. Sometimes I really feel like I got a grip on patience. Sometimes I really feel like I'm walking in 1 Corinthians 13:3, love suffers long and is kind. And I'm really walking in a great patience. I mean, I really got a handle on this thing. I am a man of patience. And then the next moment I find myself blowing up at my son over the most little thing, the most little petty thing, and I'm on my face again. And these are the kind of things that I'm just talking about. So I was in a place of prayer Thursday, just really battling a sense of discouragement in this area. And it's so amazing how God can do things, how God can just meet you where you're at. Because I'm going through the book of Daniel in my own personal devotions. Every morning or every night when I get through alone with the Lord, I just reading through the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. And this Thursday night, as I begin to read where I took off, begin to read where I have left off, immediately the Lord began to speak to me about King Nebuchadnezzar. And he began to speak to my heart about some things. And ultimately, the Lord really began to encourage my heart about some things. See, brothers and sisters, King Nebuchadnezzar was a very inconsistent man. He was a very unstable man. He was a very unsteadfast man. Throughout his whole life, one minute he's worshiping the God of heaven and declaring him to be the great God over the earth. And in the next moment, he's worshiping his pride and he's building images of himself. A very inconsistent man. He's a very weak man. No stability in his heart. Very inconsistent man. And I just want to show you this. I want to just go through about 4 or 5 scriptures, and I really want you to see this with this man. So look with me again at chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and a breadth thereof of cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Go with me to chapter 3. Go with me to verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have yielded their king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dung, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Now go with me to chapter 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So brothers and sisters, looking at these scriptures, we see that this is a very inconsistent man. Very unsteadfast man. Really, in all reality and truth, he's very weak. There's just no sense of steadfastness, no strength in his heart. And we see that King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a pretty great king, thought he was a pretty powerful king. And the eyes of all the nations that he conquered in triumph, the eyes of the world were upon him and esteemed him as some kind of great king. But again, brothers and sisters, I just want us to see that there was no steadfastness in this man, that he was very inconsistent, he was very unstable. Now, I want to say this. I'm not speaking condescendingly in a condescending way about King Nebuchadnezzar, because the Lord has caused me to see some inconsistencies in my life. And again, I'm not talking about willful idolatry and willful rebellion against the Lord. I'm just talking about sometimes I really feel in my heart I got a handle on something. I really feel in my heart, you know, I've got a handle on this and I'm walking it out. And then the next minute I find myself falling upon my face. So I'm not talking in a condescending way about this man. And I believe with all my heart, I really believe with all my heart, there are times that Christians can really battle with a sense of discouragement in this area. We can battle discouragement in some inconsistencies, what we see in our life. One minute I really think I got the victory over something. One minute I really think, you know what, I got this nailed down pat. I got this. I'm walking in this. And then the next minute we find ourselves falling on our face again. And in our hearts there's just such a discouragement. God, I have fallen upon my face again. I believe a lot of Christians battle that. I know me. I know my wife. We battle that a lot. A lot of times regarding our son, we really think we got something. And then we find ourselves on our face before God again saying, oh God. But this morning God has a word of encouragement. He wants to talk to us about an ever-increasing strength. And what he wants to talk to us about, we're going to look at it in the life of another king, a king who reigned sometime after King Nebuchadnezzar. And that's King Darius. So I want you to go with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now when you have Daniel chapter 6, look up at me. I want to ask you a question. We saw it in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar that he was such an unsteadfast man. Such an unstable man. And the question that I want to ask is why? Why is his life so full of inconsistencies? Why is he so unstable, so unsteadfast? There's a few reasons that we can give. But here's the reason that's on my heart. The reason is because he's a man that's walking and trusting in his own strength. He's a man who's leaning upon his own strength. He's a pagan king. He doesn't know anything about God. He doesn't walk with God. He doesn't know the ways of God. He doesn't walk in the ways of God. So he has to lean upon his own strength. He has to look upon his own strength. He has to trust in his own strength. And beloved, I believe with all my heart that Christians can walk in their own strength. In fact, I believe with all my heart, God has to continually smite self-strength and bring his people, teach his people more and more how to walk in his strength. I believe with all my heart, God has to continually smite self-strength and teach his people how to be carried by grace more and more. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it is a lifetime process. I can't help but think about Moses. You know, after 40 years in the wilderness in Midian with God, the Bible says that Moses came out of the wilderness as the meekest man upon the face of the earth. In other words, he walked in an incredible strength in the Lord. But yet, after 40 years in the wilderness with God, in his 80s, probably in his 90s now, he finds himself in a battle. And in this battle, he has men holding up his arms. Now, brothers and sisters, the holding up of Moses' arms can speak of a few things, but to me, this is what it speaks of. One more time, God is pressing him into a place of weakness. One more time, God is pressing him into a place where he has to die to more of his strength so that the strength of God can be perfected in him. This meekest man in all the earth. And these two men, he has Aaron holding up one hand and hers holding up the other hand. And that really speaks volumes to a New Testament believer. It really speaks about the strength of Christ being perfected in a New Testament believer. Why? Because on one hand, holding up Moses' hand is Aaron. Who is Aaron? Aaron is a high priest. On the other hand, he has her. Who is her? Her's name in Hebrew actually means light bearer, giver of life. He represents the Holy Spirit. So to me, it represents the ministry of our high priest, Christ, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One more time, Moses being pressed into a place of weakness, pressed into a place of dying to self-strength, and the strength of God being perfected even more in his life. I believe it is a lifetime process. I believe you can never come to a place in your walk with God and say, now I am totally dead to all my strength. I am 100% walking in the strength of God. I don't believe that. Because I've seen it in my own life. God will continually press his people into places of weakness so that they learn more and more how to walk in the strength of Christ. Now, with all that said, I want to look at Daniel chapter 6 and really bring you a word from the Lord that I believe is going to encourage hearts today. The Lord just wants to encourage hearts today. Let me give you the background of Daniel chapter 6. Envious men and a Babylonian monarchy are trying to destroy Daniel. See, Daniel has an excellent spirit. He's a wonderful man of integrity in the strength of the Lord. And because of it, he has procured the favor of the king, and the king has set him above all presidents and princes in the land of Babylon. And so these envious men, they want to destroy Daniel because they're envious. So how do they do it? They do it by appealing to the king's pride. They come up with this plot that says, O king, live forever. Let's make a decree that if anyone petitions another man or another god in the next 30 days, let him be fed to the lions. They can only petition you. O great king, live forever. And that appeals to Darius's pride, and he likes that. So he says, okay, let's sign that decree. That decree sounds good to me. But after he signs that decree, sometime later, these same envious men, they come to him and say, O king, live forever. We found a man that has violated the decree. He's praying to his gods, and his name is Daniel. And immediately, the king, King Darius' heart is smitten because he realized what he'd done. He's distraught. This king is distraught because he loves Daniel. He respects Daniel. And now he sees that by the signing of the decree, what he has done to Daniel's life. He placed him in a very dangerous position, and his heart is smitten. Now, with that understanding, I want you to look with me at chapter 6. And I want you to look with me at verse 14. It says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So the king, Darius, he realizes what he'd done, and he begins to set his heart to deliver Daniel. And the Bible says that he labored all day and up into the evening to deliver Daniel. Now, this is what I want you to hear. This is what really struck me when I was reading this. Here you have a great king. The greatest king over the world at this time. King over the greatest empire of the world at this time. And he's laboring in his own human strength to set Daniel free. He's laboring in his own human strength to deliver Daniel from this decree. Now think about it. Here you have the most powerful king on the face of the earth. You would think if anyone had the strength and the authority to get things done in this world, this man has it. This man can make orders for his armies to go out and conquer nations and territories. You would think if anyone had strength and authority to bring deliverance, it's this man. But what I want us to recognize and understand that even though he labored in his own strength all day, all evening to deliver Daniel, he could not deliver Daniel. And that simply tells me this. It doesn't matter how strong we are in ourselves. I mean, look, we're talking about the king of all the earth at this time. It doesn't matter how strong we are in ourselves. There will be things that we will face in this life that we are absolutely powerless over. Doesn't matter how strong and how much strength we can to work up our efforts. There are things that we're going to face in this life that we are absolutely powerless over, and we cannot bring deliverance. We cannot deliver ourselves. Doesn't matter how strong we may think we are. And here's the tragedy of it. Look with me again at verse 15. It says, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. You really need to circle that word law in your Bible. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. So here's the tragedy. King Darius labors in his own strength and in his own efforts to deliver Daniel. He couldn't deliver Daniel, and the tragedy is he finally had to agree with his enemy. He finally had to comply with his enemy. He finally had to confess. He finally had to say, yes, I understand. It doesn't matter how powerful I am in my own strength. I am a great king. But there is a law that is more powerful than I am. It doesn't matter how much authority I have in the earth and in my own strength. I have to confess there is a law that all my strength and all my efforts cannot break. There's a law that's greater than my efforts and my strength. And beloved, this morning I want to relate that law to the law of sin. It doesn't matter how strong a person may be in themselves and how much effort they can muster up. I want to tell you something. You cannot set yourself free from sin. You cannot have power over the sin nature. That sin nature in the life of a man and the life of a woman is too powerful for anyone. It doesn't matter how strong we are in our strength. That sin nature is a beast. A beast that will consume the heart and consume the man. Because no matter how we try to tame it in our own strength, you cannot defeat, overpower that sin nature. It's a beast. So he had to agree. There's a law that's greater. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want us to understand. Something good came out of this king's efforts. As useless and powerless and as vain as his efforts were in his own strength to deliver Daniel, to overcome the power of this law, it was all vain. He couldn't do it. But there was something good that came out of it. I want you to look at this. Look with me at verse 16 again. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. Right? So that's what he says to Daniel. So in other words, listen, this king has exhausted all of his strength. He's exhausted all of his efforts. Nothing has worked. So he finally looks at Daniel and he says, Daniel, your God will deliver you. Now, brothers and sisters, that sounds like a very resolute statement. It looks like he's looking at Daniel in the eyes and he says very resolutely, Daniel, your God will deliver you. But brothers and sisters, this man is everything but resolute. He's full of fear. He's distraught. He's in great distress. Because he's afraid for Daniel's life. He's everything but resolute. But here's what I want us to recognize. It's as if the king is saying this. He's saying this. Daniel, now that all my strength has failed, there's no other choice but to now look to your God. Daniel, I have so labored in my efforts and I have so exhausted my strength through my own vain efforts. Daniel, there's no other place to look now. We have to put our trust in your God. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I believe with all my heart. I believe it because I've seen it in my own life. There are times God will let you walk in your own strength. And he will let you fail in your own strength. Because this is the cry he's trying to produce in the heart. He'll let his people walk and fail in their own strength until they truly begin to understand. You know what? God, I need you. With all of my heart, with all of my life, I need you. I cannot live this Christian walk in my own strength. I cannot live the crucified life in my own strength. God, I need you. God, listen, here's the cry he's looking for. God, I don't just need you at salvation to save me from my sin and uproot me from hell and plant me in heaven. God, I need you every day of my life just to live this Christian walk. God, I need you every day of my life just to live this crucified life. That's the cry the Lord is looking for. I believe with all my heart the Lord will allow his people in times to walk in their own strength and fail in their own strength until their eyes begin to lift off of self and begin to lift up to the Lord and say in all sincerity of heart, God, I need you. God, my dependence is upon you. God, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And sometimes that's a hard place to be. Falling on our face, falling in our failures. But I've heard a great woman of God say one time, sometimes when we think God is the most displeased with us, that is when God is the most pleased with us. Because in those times when, in our times of failure, when we think God is really displeased with us, God is saying, I am so pleased because now something is getting into your heart. You are truly beginning to realize you need me. You are truly beginning to realize that you have to place all your dependence upon me. And brothers and sisters, as that humility is getting into the heart, because that's what humility is. Humility is simply this. In my heart, I understand. Not in here, in my heart, I understand. I need God. Humility, a humble man is simply a person who understands their neediness for God, and they're lifting their eyes and they're looking to God, and there's just a dependence in their heart upon God. That's humility. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. That as that humility is working in our heart, now the grace of God is beginning to pick us up because we're not looking at our own strength and our own efforts, and we're not walking in our own strength and efforts. Our eyes are upon the Lord. And as that humility is now getting in the heart, now the grace of God is beginning to pick us up and carry us into places we could never go in our own strength, and cause us to triumph over things we could never triumph over in our own strength, and make us into something we could never make of ourselves in our own strength, because it's not my strength, it's not my efforts, it's not my confidence in myself, but it's my dependence upon the Lord, my faith and trust and dependence upon the Lord. How does it work? I don't know how it works, but I've seen it in my own life. That as that humility gets into the heart and that self-man begins to go down, that means that grace of God begins to rise in our life. The old man is going down. That old self-strength is being smitten. But as it is dying, as it is going down, the more grace arises in our life. There's an ever-increasing strength that rises in our heart. Somebody's saying this morning, God, I failed again. I thought I had this thing nailed down again. I failed again. God, I'm just not as strong as I thought I was. Congratulations. It's one of the greatest revelations you can ever get. Because now you're about to enter into a life of grace. Moses was sitting on a well sulking. I failed in my own strength. But little did he know he was sitting on a well. What's a well? Life. That means in that place of discouragement where he realized his own strength was powerless, the grace of God was about to be unleashed in his life. And 40 years later, he would walk away from that well back to Egypt as the meekest man on the face of the earth. No one walked in the strength of God like this man. But it started with sitting down on a well, realizing, God, I failed. It has to be you. Amen. Now let's ask a question when it comes to walking in deliverance and victory. What is the Lord simply looking for? Look with me at verse 17. It says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So here we see the miraculous deliverance of Daniel. And again, we're asking the question, when it comes to just walking in deliverance and victory, what is God simply looking for? Look at verse 22. It says, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Now here we go. Because he believed in his God. Brothers and sisters, when it simply comes to walking in deliverance and walking in victory and walking in freedom, what is the Lord looking for in our heart? I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's simply looking for living faith. A true faith in the heart. Just a living trust in the heart. Beloved, the Lord's not asking his people to muster up all their strength and try to walk in victory. He's not asking his people to try to muster up all your self-strength, all the strength that is in you, and live and walk out the truths of the Word of God. He's not asking that. What he's simply looking for is a people that are simply putting their faith in the victory of the cross. They're putting their eyes are not on self. They're not trusting in their own strength. They're simply putting their eyes upon the victory of the cross. It's not about what I can do. It's about what Jesus did. God's looking for a people that will simply, in their heart, there's a real faith. It's on the cross that Jesus defeated the power of sin. It's on the cross that he defeated the devil. It's on the cross that my sins are forgiven. It's on the cross that he has made me righteous. And I want to tell you something. Here's the whole point of my message. When your eyes are off yourself and off your strength and off your efforts and truly your living faith, I'm not talking about a phony faith. I'm talking about a real faith in the heart, is looking at the cross and your focus is on the cross, the power of that cross will transform you. That song is so right. By the cross, I've truly been transformed. Simply because my faith is on what Jesus did. It's not in me. My faith is not in me. My faith is not in my strength. My strength is so powerless. My faith is what Jesus wrought. Jesus won. Jesus worked on the cross. And God says, when you have that kind of faith in your heart, the power of the cross will transform you. You mean this sin that has captivated me all my life, I've tried to get victory over, victory over, victory over? You mean if there's just a real faith in my heart and I'm trusting in the cross, those sins that captivate me and keep me in bondage, they'll be broken? The answer is yes! Simple faith. The more I walk with God, I'm just learning. It's more and more just about having faith in what Jesus did. Well, that just sounds too easy. That's why you're still in bondage. Because that's all he's looking for. I defeated death, hell, grave, the power of sin on the cross. And if you'll just believe me and trust me. See, the grace of God flows through faith. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. It's when we have that simple trust in what Jesus did on the cross, the grace of God is unleashed in our life. What is God looking for? Just a simple faith. God, I believe everything you said you did, you did. And everything you said you are, you are. That's what he's looking for. God is saying, when you just keep your eyes fixed on the cross and keep your faith fixed on the cross, the power of the cross will transform you. And I want to show you, I want to end with this. I want to show you the power of a transformed life. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Look with me at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Brothers and sisters, many of us are familiar with this story. Disciples are in a boat. They're in a storm. The boat looks like it's going to sink. It's being tossed that wheel by the wind and the waves, and they're very afraid. And the Bible says that they saw Jesus walking upon the water. And then Peter cries out after a brief conversation with Jesus. He says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come walking on the water. And Jesus said, come. So when Jesus gave the word, he said, come, Peter stepped out upon the word of God and he began to walk. See, in this story, you have to understand, Peter's not walking on water. He's walking on the word of God. The Bible says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus said, come. Peter steps out upon the word of God and he starts walking upon the word of God. It's so symbolic of how we have victory over crisis and trials and things in our life. We walk in faith upon the word of God. But somewhere as he's walking, he begins to get his eyes on the waves. He begins to get his eyes on the sea and he begins to sink. He is a sinking man. In other words, he begins to sink in his fears. His fears are swallowing him up. His fears are now beginning to consume him. He's sinking in his fears and he cries out to Jesus. And here's the question I want to ask. Why is this man sinking? Why is he a sinking man in this storm? Why? Because he's still a man that's walking so much in his own strength. He's a man that's still putting so much confidence in his own strength. See, sometime later after this, he's going to look at Jesus and he's going to say, Jesus, though all forsake you, I'll follow you. In other words, he's saying, Jesus, I can live the crucified life. Anybody, maybe no one else can, but Jesus, I can live this crucified life. But we have to understand, he wasn't talking out of faith. He was talking out of the pride of his own heart. He was talking out of that confidence in his own strength. So going back to Matthew 14, the reason why he's sinking is because he's a man that's still walking, trusting, putting his confidence in self-strength. But he meets something bigger than he is. Fear fills his heart. Same thing with Moses in Exodus chapter 2. And he begins to sink. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he was sinking, Jesus reached down, took him by the hand, and lifted him up and rescued him. Now here's the question I want to ask. Why did Jesus lift him up and rescue him? Yes, it's because Jesus deeply loved him. Jesus wanted to save him. Jesus didn't want him to drown in the water. But there's another reason. You know what that reason is? Because Jesus saw the great man of God he was going to become. Jesus saw the great man of faith he was going to become. Jesus saw the great steadfastness in his heart he was going to possess. Jesus knew, yes, he's sinking, but if I'm the faithful one who keeps working in his heart and working in his heart and working in his heart, he will become a great man of faith. One day he will become a water walker. One day he will step out upon the water and he will not sink. I told him, you're going to be Peter, you're going to be a stone, and one day you're going to be a stone that doesn't sink. Did that ever happen? Yeah. I want to show it to you. Go with me to Acts chapter 12. Did he finally become a water walker? Yes, he did. Acts chapter 12. Go with me to verse 1. Acts 12 verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So in chapter 12, Peter is sentenced to die. That is his sentence. And the Bible says in verse 6 that he's between two soldiers. And what is he doing between two soldiers? The Bible says that he's sleeping. Brothers and sisters, if you could see in the spirit realm, you know what he's doing? He's walking on water. He's walking over his fears. Let me tell you, in a crisis where his heart should be filled with fear, and he should be sinking in his fears and is in his uncertainties, the Bible says that he's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Because his heart is fixed on Christ. There is such a faith in his heart in Christ. If God gets him out of this or God doesn't get him out of this, he is in a place of steadfastness of heart because his faith and his heart is fixed on Christ. In other words, this is what I'm saying. Matthew 14, he's a sinking man. Acts chapter 12, he's a transformed man. Because between 14 and Acts chapter 12, years have gone by and Jesus has continually worked in his heart, worked in his heart, worked in his heart. And Peter finally became a great man of faith. He became a man who was steadfast in his heart, unwavering, unshakable in his heart, a steadfast man. Why? Not because of his faithfulness, but because of the faithfulness of God to work in his heart. Brothers and sisters, there was an ever-increasing strength, increasing more and more, an ever-increasing faith, increasing more and more in Peter's heart because God was the one who was faithful. And I'm here to tell us this morning, this is the same thing God is doing in our lives. As we are walking with God and our faith and our focus is on the cross, not on self, not on our strength, but simply focused on what Jesus did on the cross, there is an ever-increasing strength coming into our life. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've been walking with the Lord 15 years, and from the time I was born again until now, I am a transformed man. I'm not saying that boasting. You did not know me before I knew Jesus. You didn't know my life. You had no idea the drug addiction, the alcoholism, losing everything. But then I met Jesus. Wasn't a strong man when I met Jesus, but I knew I was a saved man. And as I was walking with God, God was working in my heart and working in my heart. And there's an ever-increasing strength. I'm learning how to walk with Him by grace more and more and more. Walking in the strength of the Lord more and more and more. And you may feel discouraged this morning. Maybe there's someone here discouraged this morning. Maybe you've fallen on your face in a time of failure. Not talking about rebellion and idolatry. Just something in your life. I thought I really had a handle on this, but I find myself falling on my face again. And I'm one more time in discouragement. God is saying you need to get your eyes off of your discouragement. Because there is an ever-increasing strength coming into your life. As you're walking with me and putting your eyes on the cross and just loving me and just walking in simple obedience to me, the power of the cross is transforming you. You're being transformed. If you'll just bear with me, I think about those nets again. You know, the first time the nets broke, that reminds me of Peter's salvation day. That was the very first day he encountered Christ. He heard the call of Christ. He committed his heart to follow Christ. That was Peter's salvation day. And on his salvation day, the Bible says the nets broke. You remember that story, Luke chapter 5. But 3.5 years later, he's in a place of discouragement and he pulls in fish. But this time the Bible says even with the great multitude of fish, his net didn't break. Why? It's a picture. God was saying, Peter, listen, I've been faithful to do something in your heart. You have a strength in me now that you didn't possess in me then. 3.5 years ago, you was a saved man and I coddled you and I brought you and I protected you. But Peter, I'm telling you, 3.5 years later, there is a steadfastness. There is a strength in the Lord you have that you didn't have back then. And that is what the Lord is encouraging today. I am transforming you. You may feel discouraged, but you need to be confident that He which begun a good work in you will every day be faithful to do that work. And complete that work till the coming of Christ. Stand with me this morning. Just bow your heads with me.